Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, November the 9th of 2020. And I'm your host for this evening, as usual, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad you've made the determination to tune into the broadcast tonight to study with me the Word of God in a bit, and I'll also give you a couple updates on where are we now and what do we do next. As it relates to what has transpired over the election and other things as of late. So it's where are we now? What's next? And also, what do we do? But I'm so glad that you tuned in to the broadcast. I want to start with something that I don't know if you saw this today or not, listeners, but Pfizer has announced that they have that their COVID vaccine at this point looks to be 90% effective. Now, I hope that this vaccine is like the regular vaccines that you might have gotten when you were a child, and it doesn't necessarily change your DNA. Because there are other vaccines that they want where it can very well change your DNA. So before you get all excited and all hopeful and be like, oh, yay, it's 90% effective, look at it before you take it. If you're going to take it, go find out what's in it. Please. Make sure that it's not going to change your DNA and make you all think you're a horse or something, or a chipmunk, I don't know. Do yourself a favor and find out first as to what's in that thing before you take the shot. The thing is, and don't get me wrong, I respect medical science greatly, you know, and I'm grateful that we live in the United States and we have great medicines and ways to treat disease and that. But this would be a great time to be praying over medical providers. We have a spike of cases here in America, here in Michigan. God's on our side. God is on our side. This is part of why we talk about every day at 12 noon, praying over the cursing the virus. We want it to die from off the land, and also as part of that, we are cursing the demons behind it, and we are also and of course we're blessing the Lord. Oh yes. Because I find that if you're going to curse something, you should bless your God. You should bless the Lord Jesus. Because if all you do is curse everything bad and you never bless the Lord, that's not the best way to be. Amen. Amen. We have to continue to curse the virus, of course, be careful, but at the same time, don't live in fear. Even my pastor will tell you, my hope is that you, a pastor, have the same mindset, and that is no fear here. No fear here. We fear God. We love God. No fear here. And, of course, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And then every day, we also want to make sure that we're reading Psalm 23 out loud. And then also Psalm 91, which is the chapter 4. Protection. Yeah? Hello, you've reached the Miracle Man. Hello there. Hello? Yes? You've reached the Miracle Man.
Hello?
Show. What say you? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
Hello? What say you?
Hello?
Hello?
What's
your on the Miracle Man Show?
Hello?
I can hear you, but
I
don't know what's going on.
Well,
what say you?
I wanted to say that I really appreciate the position that you take on your show to inform people and to, you know, you say a lot of things that help people to know what the Word of God says about politics and about right and wrong. And, you know, like that one time you sang a song about abortion. And I just thought that was so powerful. And I just think that the view that you have is fantastic. So I just wanted to say that I absolutely appreciate your show.
Oh, yes.
But
and we know that
I'm not,
God is always on our side.
Yes.
God,
I'm not sure
yes.
that your program is picking up what I'm saying to you. So
they
it almost sounds... Okay, I wanted to let you know, too.
Because I can hear you.
Oh, good. Good. So I also wanted to say to you that you should be expecting a phone call from Honduras sometime soon.
All right.
Yes. Okay.
I'll be looking for that.
Okay. Fantastic. I will call on your show again and just encourage you and tell you that your show is fantastic.
Awesome.
Thank you for taking my
Thank
call.
You. You're so
You're
welcome.
Welcome.
And it's always so great whenever we have a listener who calls in. It's a beautiful thing. But as I was saying, you know, we always trust in the Lord. We trust in the power of His might. And remember that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, spirit of love, and a sound mind. And though we use wisdom, what we don't do is live in fear. I mean, I choose not to live in fear. my hope is that you do the same thing. All right, now, about the election, you know, the media has called, though the media has called, has said that Biden won the presidency. The thing is that there are some states that have to be looked at, worked out, because there are possibly problems with irregularities in some states. Actually, there are no irregularities in some states. There's a couple states where there are over 100,000 more people, more votes than what there are people registered to vote in that state. One state, it's over 100,000 extra. Another state, it's over 200,000 extra. These are states, both of these states. Biden won by less than that margin. So how does that affect it when everything is done and looked at? And we have to pray that this is issued, that this is done the right way. Now, no matter who wins the White House, whether it's Trump or Biden, both of them will try their best to do their work, either way. Trump stays, he'll be doing more of the same, try to keep his word. If Biden gets in, he'll try to keep his word. He's promised that he has said that if science, people like Dr. Fauci and et cetera, and other doctors advise that he shut down the economy, he will. He has also said that he wants to raise taxes. Whereas Trump has vowed on Corona to continue to safely reopen for now. Biden has also said, when it comes to religious free liberty, that he would possibly look at shutting down, as we know it, the church, so the churches may have to go underground. If it's Biden, we really have to pray and believe God that he would leave the church alone and allow the church to be free and to worship our God, our Lord Jesus, the way we love to do it, the way we want to, the way we see fit. If it's Trump, don't just be all yay. I mean, if that's how you voted. If that's how you voted, don't just sit there and say yay Biden or yay Trump, depending on who gets in there. No, if it's Trump that gets in there, you need to pray protection over him. Of course, if Biden gets in, same thing. We have to pray protection on our country, on our cities and stuff, if Trump gets in, because if Trump gets in, there are riots that are planned. Yes, there are. Yes, there are. And so we just have to pray. And we have to believe God that when it comes to these ballots, we have to believe God that all of this is handled fairly and justly. according to how you, how the Lord would want it to be done. And that, and if you're wondering, does Trump have a pass to the White House? Yes. There are a few states where it is in the margin of error. Like I said, one of those states where it's where there could have been 100,000 plus extra votes. If 90,000 of them are for Biden and only 10,000 for Trump, then just using that as an example, then that puts Trump back closer to the 270, and for Biden, that puts him down to 280, more than the 270 you need. Now there's issues with places like Pennsylvania as well. If it turns out that there's tons of irregularities there and a lot of dead voters and duplicates, and a duplicate basically means if there are duplicates, if it's duplicate ballots, that essentially means that someone voted twice, don't you think? That somehow it could show that you voted twice, even if you didn't. Does that make sense? It could show that you voted twice, even if you didn't. So those kinds of things will have to be worked out. If there is fraud and not just some errors, then we have to believe God that all of this is dealt with. And my hope is that this gets dealt with justly and fairly, and that God helps those up to deal with this, because the fight we're in right now isn't just, it's not about is it Trump or is it Biden? It's about integrity of the voting process in this country. So we need to believe God that as they start to look at things, that it's done properly. And the quicker they can sort this out, the better. Because Biden is beginning to make plans. And the more plans he makes, the more it could possibly, hopefully not, but the more, I don't mean it like that, but I mean, the more it could sway whoever has to make the decisions. So that's why hopefully they can look at this, do it justly, do it, you know, quick. And I know Georgia's doing a recount. And the last thing I'm going to say about all of this kind of stuff is that we just got to pray. We just got to believe God that this is all handled justly. And that, you know, the different time frames and things of that nature when it comes to integrity and on time and stuff are dealt with. And I, by the way, I am the Miracle Man and I do approve this message. Not backed by any either political party. Nope. Mm-mm. All right, now, you can swing by your local McDonald's and grab yourself an icy cold Coca-Cola for the low price of just $1 a piece. Also, while you're there, you can grab yourself an apple fritter. I tried an apple fritter a few days ago. It was actually pretty good. As for the cinnamon roll and the muffin, I can't talk about it. I won't talk about it, I should say. I haven't, because I haven't tried either, and I'm not going to bother to endorse products that I have not tried myself. By law, the football athletes, the baseball athletes, basketball and that, they're not supposed to do that. So when it comes to stuff like that, I just try to follow the law. And so even though it might not apply to an online radio show, I act as if it does. So the apple fritter is delicious, has a nice frosting on it. And you can get one for at your local McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Tax, of course, extra. The nice thing about that state to the south is that there you won't hear that as much. One of the nice things, I mean. And then, of course, there you'd possibly hear something better. Tax included. Yay! Or even better, tax-free. You might go to Subway or something. Grab your, in that state, go grab yourself a 6-inch sub. It might be like $3.19 or whatever. Whatever it says on the thing, and that could be what you actually pay, especially if you tell them it's to go. And they've been doing it this way down there for a lot of years, likely. And may they never got it. And the rest of the plan for the rest of the night is this. We're going to sing a couple of songs, and then we're going to go into the Word of the Lord for tonight. And I'm going to be dealing a bit for the next little while on the book of Revelation. And we're living in the days now. We're living in the last days. And I enjoy the book of Revelation. There's great things that can be learned from it. And so I'm going to be spending some time on the book of Revelation. Tonight we'll be looking at chapter 1 and possibly chapter 2. And then we'll talk about it. And then after that, we will have our sports update. And I got to tell you, there are some shockers in it. A couple of them are major shockers. And we will talk about that when the time comes. But first off, start off with a couple of songs. Like I said, before we get into the Word of the Lord. I said, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus, because he's my friend. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. can't nobody do me like Jesus, because he's my friend. Say, heal my body. Then he told me to run on. He healed my body. He told me to run on. He healed my body. He told me to run on, because he's my friend. He's a way where there seems to be no other. He's a rock. He's a rock that is higher than I. He's a bridge over my struggle. Jesus is a friend of mine. And can't nobody do me like Jesus. And can't nobody do me like the Lord. And can't nobody do me like Jesus, because he's my friend. He's a way. He healed my body. Told me to run on. He healed my body. Told me to run on. He healed my body. He told me to run on, because he's my friend. He's a way where there seems to be no other. He's a rock. He's a rock that is higher than I. He's a bridge. He's a bridge over my struggle. Jesus is a friend of mine. He's a way. He's a way where there seems to be no other. He's a rock that is higher than I. He's a bridge. He's a bridge over my struggle. Jesus is a friend of mine. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. And can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus, because he's my friend. He's my friend. Come on, he's my friend. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So glad that Jesus is that best friend. Whenever we have need of him, we can, when we want him, when we need him, he's always there. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If faith could move a mountain, let the mountains move. Come with expectation, waiting here for you. You're everything you promised. Your faithfulness is true. We are desperate for your presence. All we need is you. Waiting here for you. With our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing hallelujah. You are everything you promised. Your faithfulness is true. We are desperate for your presence. All we need is you. We're waiting here for you. With our hands lifted high. I in praise, and it's you we adore, singing Alleluia. 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 Waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise, and it's you we adore, singing Alleluia. Alleluia. We're waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise, and it's you we adore, singing Alleluia. Alleluia. Waiting here for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all these listeners who have made the determination to tune in tonight to this great program to study your presence, to learn your ways, to find how to be more like you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would bless us tonight as we study your word for a little while. May you impart things to us tonight as we study, as we strive to be more and more and more and more like you. And that as we spend this time together in your word, that you would just reveal things to us, Heavenly Lord Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord God, that I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on us. That you would just impart things to us that we have need of. And thank you that every need tonight is met. Healings, deliverances, sudden breaks, whatever it is that we have need of, that you would just meet the need. And Lord God, I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, increases in listenership come to this program, finances come into this program, and most importantly of all, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amounts of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program tonight. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. to make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. This book is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a history book to me. It's more than a guidebook to me. Tonight, I am a believer, therefore I am a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Oh, just wave that thing a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Revelation chapter 1. Praise God, Revelation 1. We're going to begin tonight with verse 4. Praise God, Revelation 1, verse 4. And this first part is from John. Just so you knew, I wasn't reading it off a device or something. I wanted you to hear pages turning. I'm going to begin with verse 4, Revelation 1, 4, NIV. And this first one is from John. To the seven churches in the province of Asia write, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. Now that's talking about God, who is, who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve God and his Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all of the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord. God who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Verse 9 now. I, John, your brother, and your companion in the suffering and the kingdom, and patient endurance that are ourselves in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard before me a loud voice like a trumpet, and it said, write on a scroll what you see. Send it to the seven churches. To Ephesus. Smyrna. Smyrna, Georgia. Just kidding. Pujamum. Thyatira. Philadelphia. And Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his neck. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. Out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand upon me, and he said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first," which is capitalized, "and the last," which is also capitalized, and there's a reason for that. We'll get to that in a little bit. "I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Therefore, what you have seen, what is now, what will take place later, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and of the seven golden lampstands, is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Chapter 2. "To the church in Ephesus." That's the name of it. That's the title. Verse 1. "To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance, and I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered, and you have endured hardships for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love." "Remember the height from which you have fallen? Repent and do the things you used to do at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and I will remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You do hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise, to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these are the words of him who is in the first, the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say that they are Jews and they are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes you, he who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Verse 12. The angel of the church in Pergamum, write, these are the words of him who has the sharp, two-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me. Even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. To the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God. Their eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love, and your faith, and your source, your perseverance, and that you are now doing more than what you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servant into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So, I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all of the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching, and you have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them into pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give him the morning. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's look at the rest of the churches, and then we will go from there. Verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know your deeds, and you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will know. I mean, you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, and they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life. I will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 7. To the church in Philly, write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds, see? I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word. You have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but they are liars, I will make them come and will fall down at your feet, and I will acknowledge that I have loved you, since you have kept my command to endure patiently. And I will also keep you from the fire of trials that is going to come upon the whole world who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. To him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave you, will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's look at what he says to the church of Laodicea, and then we'll talk about this. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. Uh-oh. I wish that you were either cold or hot. However, because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I am about to spew you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich. I have acquired wealth. I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. All right. Now, what you see here is there are seven different churches. There's the first church, and then there's the Church of Smyrna, Georgia. Just kidding. The Church of Philadelphia. Then there is the Church of Laodicea. And then what you see is all these churches had a strength and a weakness. And he would say, here's what I love about you. Here's what I don't love about you. Laodicea, for example, he said, you're lukewarm. You're lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. You're not cold. You're not hot. question if you think, okay, I'm just in the middle, I'm okay, right? No, no, no. Because God doesn't want you to be lukewarm. And I tell you, this isn't the day for lukewarmness. It's not the day to be apathetic. Come to church when you want to. Don't come when you don't want to. Be a creaster. Someone who just goes, you know, Christmas service, the Sunday morning right before Christmas, and Easter, Sunday morning. Nope. Got to be wholeheartedly. But to each one of the seven churches, he said, for those who stay to the end, and you overcome, and he gave them each something that they could have. To one of them, he said, can be in the golden city, in that new Jerusalem. And there's a song about that we used to sing at Living Word Church that I will be singing tomorrow night. I will not be singing that tonight because I read a lot tonight, for one thing. I have some few more things I want to say. And then we got, you know, sports to deal with, good, some Monday night. But this song, part of what it talks about is how we meet in the Golden City, New Jerusalem, our pain and our tears will be no more. And that we'll be able to cry, holy is the Lamb. Not going to tell you the name of it because, I mean, I'm not going to tell you the rest of it because then I might not have a reason to sing it. And I'm not going to do that. So, each church, he said something different to. Not based on how he felt, based on their actual performance, based on how they were doing. Obviously, there are more than seven churches in the world today. What was the original seven? And he might say, well, Presbyterians, you might be good at this, but at this, not so much. Catholics, he might say, la, 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 la. Okay, how about you non-denominational? How about you Pentecostal? How about you Southern Baptist? You know, some of y'all deep Southern Baptist, you know, and these Wesleyans, Episcopalians, and all these other things. You know, there's more than seven of just of those denominations. And then, of course, you know, non-denominational. And to the user-friendly church, he would say, you come when it's convenient, you la 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 la, you know, and all the, no, God wouldn't say, you know, but, he would just say, you know, you water down my word, you did that, and you know, and all the different things you would say. But the truth is, you know, and then I love also how Jesus said in that writing, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The churches. And another word for church, this word's in your Bible, ecclesia. Ecclesia means the called out one. So what do we get by from that? We are the church. Those of us who are Christians and believe in God and do what he tells us, we are the church. and you claim you're a Christian, it's important that you find yourself in a good church where your pastor preaches the Word of God the way it's meant to be taught. And they don't hide it from you. And they give you the real Word of God. And where there's prayer, you know, where the Word is preached, where the Bible is practiced fully, and ultimately where it's, like I said, ultimately where it's based on the Bible. And if you're in one of those lukewarm-y churches, pastor decides, Bible says that, but I'm not going to do that. You know, let's lay your hands on the sick. I'm not going to do that. Get out. Find a church where they practice the whole Word of God. And I firmly, firmly, firmly believe that. And even if you're moving to somewhere, this is not a day to leave and then spend, you know, a week, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, you know, 3 months, 6 months, shopping around the city, the metro, the little village, whatever, looking for a new church. No. But I say, I'm going to find the church first. And then I'm going to go present my tithes if I get there. And I'm going to, of course, talk to God about it. And like I said, this is not the day to be unchurched. And about this whole thing of we are the church, yes, we are. But the building is the church where we meet. The building is where we meet together. Jesus said, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. Even more, and then he says, even more so, as you say, see my coming approaching. Think about that. Even more so, as you see my coming approaching. I didn't see that where Jesus said it. Unless there's a lockdown. Unless there's a virus. Whatever that thing is, whether it's COVID, dovid, rovid. Yeah, that thing. There's no one less, he said. Do not forsake yourselves the gathering together. And we got people, you know, we got our church attendance at my church is down a little bit right now, but that's why I pray for those people. Pray for people. Pray that they would get healed. They would come back in church. And it's important to find yourself in a church where you can, even social distantly, air high five, air rub shoulders. I don't know how you rub shoulders through the air. I don't know. Encourage each other. maybe not pat on their back, maybe not hug them, maybe not. And this right now is part of why we have to curse this virus. And here's why, partly. Jesus said, people will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. How are you going to do that with a 6-foot pole? How are you going to touch someone, lay your hand on them with a 6-foot pole, Megan?
I don't know.
You're not. You're not. Well, yeah, so you bring your 6-foot pole to church. Imagine if pastor had that, brought that with him. I'd be like, really? You brought your pole at 6 foot. And so when you call up people to pray over them, you're going to, what's going to touch your head is their pole, and you might bop them with it. Yeah, I heard about the this pastor in Detroit area who was at a church where they believe in baptizing their babies. But obviously, you know what? Different churches, different things. In my church, we don't believe in the baptizing the baby right when they're babies. We want them to be of age. But what they used to baptize a couple babies, and you're not going to believe what they used: a little baby hose. Like a little drip of water thingy and a 6-foot pole. And they probably barely got their head wet. Barely. That's pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, we don't do that. We still, and of course, there are certain things that right now that it's real hard to do. We do communion. We try our best, but that's part of why we have to curse this virus. It's because there's things that the church is supposed to do that it's so hard to do when you're told, you know, don't do this. Don't lay hands on people. Don't use anointing oil on. Because once the last days like this, we need the anointing. And in a way, it makes it harder to minister. And there's certain ways that people need to be, different people need to be ministered to. And so, but like I said, all 7 churches, you said different. Something different too, and it wasn't just based on his feeling of the day. God said it based on how it was. So, I'm sorry about that. I was just checking my clock. Praise God, Heavenly Father. I thank you for this word tonight. For this word on the 7 churches. I thank you, Lord God, that we would be the good of these churches, of whatever one we may be a part of. And I thank you that we would serve you wholeheartedly, not lukewarm, that we would not be willfully living in sin, and that we would ultimately stay out of it fully. And I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon us, that we would put the word of God, this word of God tonight into practice in our lives. And I thank you, Lord God. I pray right now for all of those who are sick and need a healing. Now, I know, Lord, I can't use anointing oil, can't lay my hands on them from where I'm at, not because of COVID, because I'm on the online radio. But if I could, I would totally be doing it. And I just thank you, Lord, that healing would come to these bodies. In your mighty name. Oh, Jesus. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. For sports, Michigan, 23-ranked Michigan falls to 13th-ranked Indiana, 37-21. And that was quite a surprise. Michigan at this point is 1-2. Harbaugh is now saying that he would think about possibly returning back to the NFL. Trust me, that loss to Michigan State was one of his worst losses in his career. It was worse than all five of the losses to that team to the South. He almost beat them once, but he couldn't. Almost. And I know I've said some things on this program, but as far as Michigan goes, they have to shrug off this latest loss and get back to work and get ready for their next game this weekend. Now, Michigan State, 42-10, they fall to Iowa. I really thought that Michigan State was going to ride that momentum that they had against Michigan and use that against Iowa and somehow beat them, but they didn't. Instead, they had a loss to Iowa, a very big loss at that, as MSU starts at 1-2, just like Michigan. So far, 0-2. Lions, 37-21 loss to Minnesota. The Vikings, so they gave Detroit all kinds of trouble. Matthew Stafford was cleared from the COVID list, but then he injured himself and had to be taken out of the game. Now he's undergoing concussion protocol. The Buccaneers, they had a big loss to the Saints. A very big loss to the Saints. In fact, it was Tom Brady's largest negative point differential in his career. And he's been doing this for nearly 20 years, for 20 years that he's been in the NFL. They were doing so well. But then, you know, when you have St. Peter and Paul come in there and try to mess it up. As now, that race is in a dead heat. So who's the better team in the NFC South? I was thinking previously that the Bucs were going to take it. Now it could go either way, to be honest with you. And then the Giants were able to beat that football team. I think it's weird that they didn't find a new name for the team in Washington after they retired their old name, the Redskin Potatoes. Ultimately, they're the Redskins, but they decided to change their name. And I can understand why they did it, but at the same time, it's kind of. And then the game that I was at Saturday, Midland Dow. At Midland Stadium, yes, I got in, and Midland won it 31-15. Midland could have won it by even more, possibly. But one time they got near the end zone, but then time went out. Another time, they were like at the, they had made it all the way to like the 2-yard line, but then there was a holding call that pushed them back to like the 15. And then the Dow defense shut them down, and then Dow ends up getting it back. And Dow did force Midland to throw the football a bit more, completed 10 of 16 passes with an interception and a touchdown. Next up for Midland, Traverse City Central at Midland High, Friday night at 7 p.m. I am going to be there. I've got to get my tickets. And it was a fun game. I know there was only 1,000 people there, but I'm always I'm pretty proud to say this. All 400 other band members were there, someone told me. I don't know in reality. Hopefully, maybe I'll find out Friday. But it seemed to me like most all of them were there. And I didn't think they would all be there. I figured maybe 200 total. And that was it. Maybe half the half of each band. But I will say though, it was weird how far apart the bands were. Like during the game, one was in the total opposite end zone from another. Usually, they're like literally halfway across the track from each other. Which makes it fun because you know me, when I go to these games, I like sitting near the music and where you can hear the students, you know, doing their thing, being all loud and stuff. But Midland was at the totally opposite end zone from where the kids sit, which I thought was wild. I don't know how they'll do it this week. I wonder if maybe they haven't figured out. And so, how did I do on the predictions? Only 2 out of 6 were right. The rest of the previously this year, I was hitting 75%+ accuracy. I was doing awesome. And then this was the week that it all had to come crashing down. And I don't know why. Who knows? I guess when you underestimate Iowa, you underestimate Indiana, and you don't think Minnesota is going to decide to get hot, and then so with that, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.